Royalty in Ruins, Chapter 29. Visitors from Babylon see the wrong things. In the midst of this prosperous reign, King Hezekiah was suddenly stricken with an illness beyond human power to help. When Isaiah appeared with a message, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1. His last hope seemed removed. The outlook was dark, yet the king could still pray. So Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 2 and 3. The dying ruler had served God faithfully and strengthened the confidence of the people in their supreme ruler. Like David, he could now plead, "Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles." Psalm 88, verse 2 and 3. "Do not forsake me when my strength fails. O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." Psalm 71, verse 9 and 18. Before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake, and for the sake of my servant David." 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 4 through 6. Directing that a lump of figs be laid on the diseased part, Isaiah delivered the message of mercy. Hezekiah pleaded for some sign that the message was from heaven. "What is the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day?" "This is the sign to you from the Lord," the prophet answered, "that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? "It is an easy thing," Hezekiah replied, "for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. "No, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. Only by the intervention of God could the shadow on the sundial be made to turn back 10 degrees. So the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. Verses 8 through 11. Restored to strength, Hezekiah vowed to spend his remaining days in willing service to the King of Kings. "I said, in the prime of my life I shall go. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. We will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." Isaiah chapter 38, verse 10, 17, and 20. In the fertile valleys of the Tigris and Euphrates lived an ancient race that was destined to rule the world. Among its people were wise men who gave attention to astronomy. They noticed the shadow on the sundial turned back 10 degrees. When King Merodach-Baladan learned that this miracle was a sign of the king of Judah, that the God of heaven had granted him a new lease on life, he sent ambassadors to Hezekiah to congratulate him and to learn, if possible, more of the God who was able to perform so great a wonder. The visit of these messengers gave Hezekiah an opportunity to give glory to the living God, the upholder of all created things, through whose favor his own life had been spared when all other hope was gone. What groundbreaking transformations might have taken place if these seekers after truth had been led to the living God! Hezekiah's tragic pride. But pride and vanity took possession of Hezekiah's heart. In self-exaltation, the king showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Isaiah chapter 39, verse 2. He did not stop to consider that these men from a powerful nation did not have the love of God in their hearts, and that it was unwise to show them the temporal riches of the nation. the visit of the ambassadors was a test of Hezekiah's gratitude and devotion. However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31. If Hezekiah had borne witness to the goodness and compassion of God, the report of the ambassadors would have been like light piercing darkness. But he magnified himself above the Lord of hosts, for his heart was lifted up. Verse 25. How disastrous the results! To Isaiah, God revealed that the king of Babylon and his counselors would plan to enrich their own country with the treasures of Jerusalem. Hezekiah had sinned disastrously. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 25. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house, and what your fathers have accumulated until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and they shall take away some of your sons, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Isaiah chapter 39, verses 3 through 7. Filled with remorse, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 26. But the evil seed he had sown would yield a harvest of woe. His faith would be severely tried, and he was to learn that only by putting his trust fully in Jehovah could he triumph over the powers who were plotting his ruin and the destruction of his people. Our words can help others. Far more than we do, we need to speak of the mercy and loving kindness of God, of the matchless depths of the Savior's love. When mind and heart are filled with the love of God, this will not be difficult. Noble ambitions, clear perceptions of truth, yearnings for holiness will find expression in words that reveal the character of the heart's treasure. Those with whom we associate day by day need our help, our guidance. Tomorrow, some may be where we can never reach them again. Every day, our words and acts are making impressions on those with whom we associate. One reckless movement, one unwise step, and the surging waves of strong temptation may sweep someone into the downward path. If the thoughts we have planted in others' minds have been evil, we may have set in motion a tide of evil we are powerless to stop. On the other hand, if by our example we help others to develop good principles, we give them power to do good. In their turn, they exert the same beneficial influence on others. In this way, hundreds and thousands are helped by our unconscious influence. Before an unbelieving, sin-loving world, the true followers of Christ reveal the power of God's grace and the perfection of his character.